Dr. Harold Koenig is on the faculty of Duke University Medical Center, where he works in the fields of psychiatry and geriatric medicine. He's also co-director of the Center for Spirituality, Theology and Health. And Dr. Koenig has written hundreds of articles and book chapters and dozens of his own books looking at the impact of spiritual belief and practice on health and well-being. When I met with him in his home office in North Carolina, I asked him about this whole area of religion, spirituality and health, and whether anyone these days is willing to deny that there are strong positive correlations between them.
I don't think that many people deny that there are strong positive correlations between religion and health. What they question is the interpretation of those associations. What do they actually mean? Do they mean that religion is good for your health? Or is it simply an association that's due to other factors?
I imagine the question of causality is incredibly difficult to ascertain in this.
The question of causality is a real challenge because it's difficult to design studies where you can randomize people to either a religious intervention or not a religious intervention or a secular intervention. Those are difficult studies to do. They're costly, and they just have not been done for particularly physical health conditions. There have been a few for mental health conditions like depression and anxiety, and it does seem as though the religious intervention does have an effect that goes beyond simply the secular intervention.
Can we talk about some of those? Let's take depression, for example. What sort of findings what are you discovering in that area?
Well, first of all, we're discovering that many people who are experiencing stress, any kind of a stressor, whether it be a loss of a loved one, change in their life situation, and particularly health problems, often turn to their religious faith to cope with the stress that this causes. And those people who are relying on their religious faith, it seems that they are coping better. They are experiencing less depression. And if they do get depressed over the situation, they seem to recover more quickly from the depression. There is less anxiety. There is more hope, more optimism. And consequently, that, of course, affects the person's rehabilitation because they have more motivation to try a little harder to get better because they feel that, you know, there is something to get better for.
Are you also finding that people who don't have some kind of supernatural worldview in general do worse, if having both findings?
Well, when I say they're doing better, that means the inverse of that is that they're not doing as well as people who are religiously involved. Now, it gets pretty complicated because people, as they get in worse health or they get under more stress, they often turn to religion. So many times it's hard to show that religion is a benefit because these poor people who are going through all of this stress and poor health then turn to religion as kind of a last-ditch effort in order to survive. And so consequently, that makes it difficult to show that the religious part of that, the religious activity, is actually enhancing mental or physical health.
One of the areas that interested me in reading your work is in immunological conditions. Can you summarize some of the research in those areas?
Well, it's the research in the study of the connections between religious involvement and immune functioning are fairly early in terms of what we can conclude from those studies. But a number of them seem to show that religious involvement is associated with a measurably better immune functioning. This would be in terms of measures like interleukin-6, which is a chemical in the blood that gives an indicator of how healthy the immune system is. That seems to be at a more optimum level in those who are religiously involved, particularly those attending religious services and involved in the faith community in some way.
Are you able to tie down these findings to any particular kinds of religious beliefs? For example, that I ought to attend church. Are they tied to particular beliefs, or is it a more general effect for religion?
Well, of course, most of the studies that have been done within Christian populations because they've been done in the United States, basically. That's where they're they come from. And this is a country that if you have a religious faith, then it's a 93% chance it's going to be Christian. So these are the kinds of populations we're studying. And it's we're not sure to what extent this generalizes to other religions. There does seem to be a number of correlations in other faith traditions as well, in Judaism, in Islam, and in some of the Buddhist and Hindu traditions, which emphasize practices such as mindfulness meditation or transcendental meditation. And these practices seem to have health benefits, both mental and physical as well, for those individuals who are actually doing those practices.
Another area of interest is longevity. You're also finding that people with a religious worldview seem to live longer.
Yes, it does seem that people who are actively involved in a faith community, especially attending church, seem to live longer than people who are not involved in religious activities of that nature. One of the largest studies indicates that there's about a 7-year difference in lifespan among those who are not attending religious services compared to those who are attending weekly or more often. And it's pretty impressive when you consider some of the findings with regard to the longevity. There's another study that indicates that people who attend religious services weekly, who don't smoke, who are married, and who have 12 years of education, for men, the average lifespan approximates 84 years, which is 10 years longer than the average lifespan in the United States. And for women, it exceeds 86, which is also higher than the average lifespan among women in the United States. So when you've got those four characteristics, that seems to predict greater longevity.
Does a person's view of God's character have any significant difference? Does it matter whether you think God is a loving father, or whether you see God as a punishing judge?
It's a good question. It's a good question whether one's image of God makes any difference in terms of health. There hasn't been a lot of research, but there's been some. There's been almost none with regard to physical health on the image of God, but there has been a few on psychological health or well-being. And, some studies show that, naturally you would think that the loving father would be the one that would predict, and it does tend to predict. But what's interesting is some of the other studies suggest that people really don't want to believe in a wimpy God. In other words, a God that's just a friend and doesn't have any power or discipline, or doesn't have any strength. They're not. They want a God that has power and strength. And those people who believe in a God of that nature seem to do better. So the loving part, the forgiving part, I think is important. If that's missing, then the combination of having that loving, forgiving God that is also the most powerful being in the world, that is the creator of the past and the future, also doesn't hurt.
Right. Has much work been done on these sort of specific beliefs and their connection with health? One I'm thinking of particularly is, say, beliefs about the afterlife and what is in store for you beyond the grave.
There have been a few studies that have looked at belief in an afterlife, and actually they come out of Japan, believe it or not, one of the countries that has the lowest level of religious belief. But in Japan, it does seem that belief in an afterlife does seem to buffer some of the negative effects that low socioeconomic status has on mental health and even on blood pressure in some of the studies. So this sense of a belief in an afterlife does seem to have some health benefits. I'm also aware of other studies showing that with regard to anxiety and depression and some of the mental conditions, that having this belief does seem to help. And it would make sense, of course, that if you feel like you're going to just completely disappear when you die, and that when your loved ones die, they're gone for all of eternity and you'll never see them again, then that's going to be kind of that's not going to be helping you to cope with the fear of death or the loss of loved ones. But if you believe that, they're still around, that God is caring for them, and that you'll soon be, when you die, you will be reunited with them, and there'll be a great celebration. And that's just a wonderful belief system that helps people to deal with a lot of bad stuff that happens to us in this life.
One of the areas of controversy is research into prayer and its efficacy for things like healing. Has that been part of your work?
The efficacy of prayer and healing has been part of my work, but it's not the kind that most people are talking about when they say that. We're interested in how prayer affects the individual and their coping with illness and how they deal with the stress. And, you know, we can study that. That's something scientists can study. But there's a whole nother area of research that looks at double-blinded, randomized controlled studies of intercessory prayer.
What are you finding in those studies?
Well, the studies, I've been part of one study on this. I really don't like these studies because they're trying to prove something that science wasn't designed to prove.
How is that? Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yes. First of all, God, if he or she exists, doesn't exist as part of the created universe. Therefore, it would be silly to think that you could predict God's actions like you could predict the sun rising or the stars, changing. So science just was designed to study natural phenomena. It's wonderful in that regard, but it's to try to study something that exists outside of time and space and that oftentimes does not, you know, behave on our time scale and our schedule is fraught with problems. That's just the theological problem there. And it's, you know, it goes further in that these studies are trying to quantify the effect of prayer, which means if you say one prayer, you're not going to have as much of an effect as if you say two prayers. It's like going to a Coke machine and saying, okay, I put in 50 cents, I get a 12-ounce Coke. Then if I put in a dollar, I get a 24-ounce Coke. I mean, does God work like that? Is this a quantitative God that doesn't care, you know, about the sincerity of the prayer? It doesn't make any sense theologically. From a scientific standpoint, there's no justification at all because there's no basis for any effect at all within anything we know about physics or science. Now, the kind of areas we're studying is entirely within the bounds of science. We study how prayer affects one's emotions and one's social connections and one's beliefs, all of which affect one's health, one's physical health. Our beliefs, our emotions are directly connected to our healing systems in our body. So if we're content, we're peaceful, we're happy, we're just going to be in better physical health. Our blood pressure is going to be lower. Our cardiovascular system is going to work in a more healthy way. Our immune system will fight off illness better. All of that will just work better if we're in a loving, forgiving, you know, peaceful state. And religious faith helps us to do that.
You've mentioned a couple of times the phrase faith communities. I know that, you know, urban planners, governments and so forth are quite interested in this concept of community in our day and how we can get people to connect with each other. Is there simply a positive well-being effect in being in a community, or is the faith dimension also important?
There is a positive effect of being part of a community. And of course, the issue of social capital is really big these days in communities because it seems to be associated with lower crime rates, less alcohol and drug use, less teenage pregnancy, and all of that we feel is good. It costs less money to have communities that have high social capital. And religious communities in general that have more religious organizations in them and a higher proportion of the community is affiliated with the religious group, they seem to have a higher social capital. There's more trust among members of the community. In general, the community just works better. So that is a powerful effect that religious involvement has through the community. However, that effect only makes up about 15% of the effects that we've seen that religion has on health outcomes. So there's a lot of it that's not just being part of a community. Being part of a community is very significant, but it's not the whole thing.
Interesting. Your work often establishes these positive correlations between spirituality or religion and health, but what about the negative ones? I mean, do some religious beliefs correlate with lower levels of health? Are there unhealthy religious practices?
Well, there are unhealthy religious beliefs that can get people into trouble physically and emotionally.
And those examples?
Examples of these unhealthy beliefs are believing that God is punishing one. And this is very common to have this feeling.
Do you mean by that someone feels like they are unwell because God is punishing them by making them unwell?
Yes. Right. It's basically the book of Job, is that when bad things happen to people, they wonder why. And they wonder, you know, why did God allow this to happen to me? I've been praying or I've been faithful and yet this horrible thing has happened to me. What, in trying to make sense of it, people try to come up with the reason why, and they believe then that maybe God is punishing them for something that they've done, or maybe God is not around, or maybe God doesn't have the power to make a difference, or maybe God has deserted them after, you know, being in a horrible situation for weeks, months, years, and you're praying and nothing is happening. You don't feel God's presence anymore. You feel like God is gone. God has left. And that is a very distressful feeling. Also, a result can be anger at God. Angry that God allowed this to happen. Angry and resentful towards God. These feelings block the comfort and the strength that religion can provide people. And we have been able to show that when people have those kinds of negative religious beliefs, this increases their mortality, independent of their mental health or even their social health or their physical health. Their mortality rates are significantly increased. And we don't know why that's the case. Maybe it's because of just this sense of just loss of meaning that occurs when people are angry at God. Or have a struggle in their relationship with God. And it's not the religious people, the most religious people, that tend to have these beliefs. It tends to be the more marginally religious people that, you know, when they do talk to God, it's mainly complaining or, you know, the anger. The more deeply religious person basically has nowhere else to go but then to God.
One of the features in some religious traditions is that you need to tread a path of suffering in order to serve God properly. So you wouldn't really, in a sense, be expecting good health outcomes. Do people focus too much on having good health?
Well, I think there's no question that, you know, at least in the United States, you know, health is a very important thing in people's lives. When you search on the words that are most commonly found in the Google search, and what is the most common word has the most hits when you do the Google search, you find that health is at the top, and of course second is money. So in any case, people are very interested in their health, and they don't want to suffer, and they don't really value the importance of suffering. And so that then becomes a reaction then to the suffering. They don't a lot of times understand the value that suffering can have. And that's pretty normal. Nobody wants to go through painful emotional experiences. All of us try to avoid those things. Nobody wants to suffer, but suffering comes to you whether you want it or not. And if it's in your life, then religious faith can really make a difference in giving it meaning and enabling you to bear the suffering and actually alleviate the suffering itself, the acceptance of it, and the giving it meaning, and seeing that the pain and the suffering, God can do things in people that can really affect their lives in a very significant way and make them much more deeper and make them much more closely connected with himself.
Are you of the view that science is, in fact, a way of bringing about the kingdom of God in the world, that the improvements that are made in the area of health are, in a sense, a restoring of what should be?
That's a very interesting question. There's no doubt that I believe that medicine and science are all parts of the way God is working in the world. Now, of course, I'm also aware that with the wonderful science and medicine that we have, that the suffering is not much less as a result of those advancements. There's, you know, not much less unhappiness in the world or less depression. In fact, if anything, it's getting higher. There is more suffering, more depression, at least in our country. Because, again, as we start depending upon our science and our technology, we're drawn away a bit from our spiritual base and the importance of family and human relationships. And I think those are big, big costs that we're paying. Now, again, I think the challenges are just different now than they were 100 or 500 years ago. But I don't think that there are less challenges because of medicine and science today. They're just different.
One final question for you then. What sort of advice do you have for people concerning religion and spirituality? People who are going through great suffering, for whom life is full of bad health and is really, really difficult.
For people who are going through great suffering and for whom life is very, very difficult, I deal with these people every day. I'm a clinician. I take care of older adults, younger adults with chronic pain syndromes, with horrible depression, with very difficult life circumstances. And religion is probably the most powerful coping behavior that I have ever seen. More powerful than the drugs that I prescribe, more powerful than the psychotherapy that I do. I think that religious faith and the consequences of that, the tools that it gives you to cope with suffering, to give meaning to suffering, we just have no competition from anything that science, medicine, or psychiatry or psychology have. I really think there's nothing that's even close. So those beliefs are very powerful, and we shouldn't underestimate them.
Dr. Koenig, thanks for speaking with me.
Thank you, Greg.